The Jerry DePoto Show, presented by Seattle Pump and Equipment on Seattle Sports.
Good morning, Jerry. Happy opening day to you.
Happy opening day. It definitely means it's a good morning.
How could it not be? I mean, you got to be so excited today to finally see this product take the field for real. Where is your excitement level this morning?
10 out of 10. I like every other opening day in my baseball life, you know, woke up excited this morning, you know, itchy, ready to go. And I think it was really good to see the guys out on the big league field. Beautiful day yesterday at T-Mobile, and, you know, saw a good turnout of fans, and which I think excited the players, and everybody's ready to go.
What was your first opening day as a big leaguer on a big league roster?
1994. I was actually disabled, but my first big league season was 93. I arrived in May, and then opening day in 94, we were snowed out, Indians versus Mariners. Randy wow. Johnson, and then the next day, I got to watch my teammates do their thing, and I sat on a disabled list until June.
That must have been incredible.
Well, what about 95?
Right. Did you eventually get to pitch on opening day?
1996. Actually, 1995. I pitched on opening day. I would prefer not to recall that.
No.
1996. I got an opening day win. The only opening day win of my career. Which
oh,
was pretty cool.
That's pretty nice. A little win out of the pen. Those are always nice to get. So let's talk about this year's team and what we can expect. I don't know whether you make it a habit to read what Shannon Dreyer writes, but I was just in love with her column earlier this week as she wrote about the buy-in that exists throughout this organization, certainly among the players, but even going beyond that to the coaching staff and baseball ops and everywhere else. What is the level of buy-in right now amongst this organization?
You know, again, I've been doing this for a number of years, and it's as good as I've ever seen, or as deep as I've ever seen. That I did have an opportunity to read Shannon's piece, and I thought it was spot on. That is the vibe that you get around our ballpark when you're around our team. And, you know, it worked in stages, you know, if I think through the years. It's, you know, when we started to develop culture, it was, you know, we had an idea of what we wanted it to be like. And, you know, that was now going on 8 years ago. And it took time for that to start to work its way through the organization. You know, and then the players bought into one another. And, you know, once the players start playing for each other and enjoy playing together like this group does, you know, and the messaging remains as consistent as it has throughout the years that we've been here together. I think it was inevitable that we would get to the point where you would feel the complete buy-in. And I think we're there.
As buy-in is there, as culture has been built, are you comfortable with now the next conversation, which is this isn't about playoffs, this is about now championships?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's always been our goal. And, you know, we've had playoff contending teams in the past, including last year. And, you know, last year we finally made it through. We made it to the playoffs. That wasn't our goal. You know, our goal wasn't to make it to the playoffs. Our goal was to continue to get better and progress. And I know Scott's talked about it a lot. We try to keep it simple. Focus on the getting that 1% better every day. Take the next step. You know, but the goal every year is to win the World Series. that's what we want to do. And, you know, as we head into this year, that's again, you know, part of the goal. But you have to have achievable steps along the way, because if you're doing nothing more than focusing on the long range result, that is a long journey. But if you can focus on tonight's win, that's what we'll do.
Well, you say that, Jerry, but for a few years, it wasn't a realistic goal to be able to win the World Series. You had taken a step back on purpose. You were rebuilding, whatever phrase you want to use. It's got to feel so much different now that part of it is over. And now you can very seriously and legitimately talk about winning a World Series as being a goal for this year.
Yeah, I guess I've often talked about things that are illegitimate. At the end of the day, there's no player that takes the field. There is no front office person that wakes up in the morning and thinks, hey, I want to lose today.
Right.
And, you know, regardless of the road that we took to get to the point we are today, every other year that I've ever been involved in this, you want to go win the World Series. And to some level, you think you can, you know. And even in some weird, magical ways, 2019, which is a year that I'll soon forget, that first 2 weeks of that season, they made you think, wow, is this going to be like the major league version of the Seattle Mariners, you know, where we rise up and do crazy things with a roster that was a bit short. So hope springs eternal. Everybody shows up on opening day. But, you know, in this year, I do believe that we are a legitimate contender to win the World Series. And, you know, how many there are, I'm not sure, but we are one of them.
And along those lines, Jerry, I was just we were just chatting in the last segment about the strength of this roster on paper, because it's all on paper right now. That all gets crinkled up, I think, first pitch here around baseball about an hour and a half or so. But on paper, is this the best team that you guys have comprised in your years here in Seattle?
Without a doubt. And it's just deeper, and it's not just the 26 guys you'll see on the field today. It's deeper than that. You know, the pitching is as deep as any club I've ever been with at any level during my baseball career. And, you know, I think we are going to surprise people with the depth of our position player club, how deep our lineup can be. And frankly, the way we've done it the last couple of years, which is remaining patient, coaching, applying ourselves in ways that have proven fruitful for us, and investing in our young players and what we do, and giving them an opportunity to play. And they do get better, as we've seen. And this group will continue to do that.
We've asked a bunch of people over the course of the last week if they were buying stock in a Mariner player for the next few years, who would they want to buy stock in? And it's amazing how many people have said the same person. I'd be kind of curious your answer. As you look at your team, who would you want to buy stock in right now?
How long is your list? Are we talking about prospects, young players?
Let's go 26-man roster. 26-man roster.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard not to buy into any of our starting pitchers or Julio. That's the easy bet. You know, I think they are tried and true. I think the maybe the most underrated player on our roster, and this has been the case for him for a number of years now, is Gino Suarez, who, you know, just quietly like a metronome, outside of a unique injury that happened from jumping in a pool, this guy does it every year, you know. I'd put Ty France in that category. Cal Raleigh is to me someone that you can really invest in and watch shoot the moon. And, you know, I for one am buying in on Camp Jared Kelenic and believe that what we're seeing is real. So it's a fun team, but if you had to pick the blue chippers, you know, those top four starting pitchers, Julio, you know, Teoscar, Gino, it's a steady group.
Speaking of jumping in.
For the record, everybody else has said George Kirby.
Yeah.
That's been the most common answer. It was George Kirby. Sorry to cut you off, Brock.
Well, no, you're the perfect lead.
I just thought I would mention that. George Kirby and what we found out yesterday about these crazy ice baths he was taking all offseason.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you familiar with these jumping into a barrel up there in upstate New York of nothing but ice water? And he would submerge himself in such ice water. Are you familiar with this story?
Yeah, it's a big recovery tool. And I know, you know, George was one of, you know, more than a handful of our players that do it. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it while you were down in Peoria, but on the frigid Arizona mornings that we were dealing with, which to be fair, weren't quite upstate New York, we did have ice baths set up on the side of the building. There were, I think, four or five of them set up for the players starting at 7 a.m. So it's been a constant for our group in prep and recovery, and it allows you to find your breath. And just center yourself.
You ever jump in those?
I've tried it once, and I recovered.
Hey, if you read Shannon's column, then I'm sure you read Julio's yesterday in the Players Tribune, to go with his Sports Illustrated cover and his GQ cover. Julio is everywhere right now, but I just absolutely loved what he had to say to the Players Tribune. What stood out to you from that?
How quickly Julio has become, you know, in tune with the community around him. I think that's that's a grown-up article. And, you know, it's so hard to remember how quickly that players grow up. And, you know, I think about Julio at 17, at 19, you know, last year at 21, and how mature he's been for his age. And then you can just drop the "for his age" when you read that. He's just a mature young man who he gets it. He knows where he is. He loves where his feet are. It's genuine excitement. When he ran out on that field yesterday, he just loves to engage with the fans. And, and I, for one, am thrilled that he loves Seattle because it's where he's going to be for a long time.
You have you've been a lot of places in baseball, Jerry. You've seen a lot of places. You played in a lot of different environments. You know, what I think struck Salk and I about that article was him, as you said, as a grown-up, being able to really reference his connection in that stadium, the electricity in that stadium. I don't think any better marketing materials could ever be written than what he talked about, the connection that he feels with the fans. Why? Why do you think that this market, why this fan base, why does it seem to connect in such a personal way with some of its superstars?
You know, the fans here, it's a weird sensation. We live in, you know, a sizable market, but it's a small town, you know. By the standards of what's in Major League Baseball, the fans are really intimate. And I don't know that they're any closer, you know, from a land standpoint at T-Mobile Park than anywhere else, but you feel like they are. And our fans have been tolerant through a lot of years of struggle. Our fans have been resilient and believing that the next year, you know, can come. And they are engaged. They've had big stars for decades, and they are engaged with their stars. And just like when I got here and I saw the way the fans reacted when Felix would run out of the dugout, you know, yesterday when Julio ran out of the dugout on a practice day, you know, it was just an eruption from 4,000 or 5,000 people. And it's he is that personality. He's got that kind of engagement. And, you know, I think back to a home run contest. I think it was the year the home run contest was the All-Star game was in Cincinnati, and Todd Frazier won the home run contest in his home ballpark. And, you know, the fans were chanting his name, and "We love you, Todd." And he said, "I love you back." And, you know, that's good. That's Julio. He loves him back. And, you know, you can see it in his eyes. It's genuine.
Pretty amazing. And just seeing the amount of recognition that he's getting, I know he's got some really great help in trying to handle that between his family and even Ichiro, who he references in that column. But it's got to be such an incredibly challenging experience for him to deal with all of the fame, and for you guys to figure out the best ways to try to help him.
Yeah, I think the best that we can do is just go along with Julio and be there when he needs to ask a question, and, you know, and give an occasional nudge if you see something, you know, that forces you to say something. But by and large, it's remarkable how, you know, I'll share a story, and I don't think this is, you know, anything that would be, you know, that would bother him for me to share. But I actually heard him respond to, you know, he was on the TV, on a TV commercial in the food room down in spring training. And, you know, as the commercial's on and everybody's joking around with Julio, the famous one, you know, he turned around. He was on the line getting his food, and he turned around to one of the people from the catering company, and he said, "I'm still Julio, bro." And that's who he is. He wants to be a great baseball player. He loves to play baseball. And I've said it before, I think he enjoys when he's engaged with the people. And fame was always going to be part of the package, and I think he's handling it remarkably well.
Can we fast forward about 8 hours from right now? Can we fast forward to just this opening matchup and this opening game and just where your eyes will be with all the pomp, all the circumstance, all the juice in a sold-out building tonight with all these stars? Where will Jerry DePoto's eyes and analysis be as we get this thing started?
I'm trying not to analyze too much. Opening day, enjoy it. Enjoy the pomp and the circumstance, you know, the bunting and the sold out crowd and the people screaming, and then just root for the guys. You know, like anybody else, if you can't get into Luis Castillo v, you know, Shane Bieber, it's worth going to the ballpark to see. If you are into the the exciting sports atmosphere. You know, I will say yesterday was, you know, it reminded our players how much our fans respond to them. And I'm guessing tonight, while maybe not quite as raucous as the night Cal hit the homer or we towed up against the Astros at home, that this is a new team. They're writing a new book. We've got our guys that are coming right out of the chute in a big series against a team that was in the playoffs last year. And I think the fans will respond, and it's going to be an awesome environment.
Got to be pretty nice to have Luis Castillo on the mound.
It doesn't stink. You know, I think the spring training is, to me, unlike anything we saw last year. And last year, he was pretty damn good. You know, he was top five in the league in strikeouts and gave us his innings. And right now, he just looks phenomenal. As you mentioned, that you know, the arrow trend with George and with Logan, both of those guys are potential stars, and they're pitching in the middle of a rotation right now, which is ideal for us. And you know what we have with the young position player group that we mentioned earlier, and that stable veteran group. I love the way our team lines up, but getting Luis Castillo for a year, bringing in Teo and Colton Wong, the return of Tom Murphy, I think it flies under the radar. You know, that's really helpful to us. I feel like we are a better team starting this season than we were last year. And this is, you know, and last year we were a pretty good team.
I was joking with Ryan Roland Smith last week saying, you know, when you run out for opening day, I'd love to see like the old VH1 days, the little bubbles that pop up, and you could see exactly what the guys were thinking. If I could give you a player or two as they're running out today, as they're introduced, and you could feel and see exactly what they're thinking as they're running out, whom would you pick?
Wow. Now, there, I think I would like to pick George Kirby. In addition to being investment worthy as in moving forward as for his talent on the field, I find George to be one of the more fascinating guys we have. You know, he's probably as in the moment as anybody can be. And you got to remember that George still doesn't have a full season of major league experience. And, you know, but you'd never know it in the way you stand around him. And I think that would be one for me, but I could think of others if I had to, you know, pick the guy that I would like to be running out on the field today. I would like to be Cal Raleigh because my guess is the response will be pretty robust.
Yeah. It's been interesting. We noticed that when we were down at spring training that even with Julio being as huge a star as he is, that some of the biggest cheers were reserved for Cal. And I'm sure some of that is because of the home run he hit to put you into the playoffs, but some of it just seems to be a connection factor. And I don't know, just he seems to connect in his own way, not the way Julio does, but in his own way with this fan base.
No, the homer didn't hurt, you know, but the homer was his, you know, it was his coming out party. And yep. I think he had a very underrated season last year. They led major league catchers and homers. He is that guy. It's switch hitting, it's power, it's catching, defense. You know, he can throw, and he's a leader. And I think that, you know, hitting that home run, his personality really started to evolve on the public stage. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I found, you know, all of his interactions with the media, at least those that I've been privy to, I thought he was some kind of engaging interview. And, you know, that's not the way Cal was necessarily 2 or 3 years ago. But that's the way he was in the clubhouse with his teammates.
Jerry, it's not how he was last year. We tried to interview him. It was not great. I mean, he really didn't want to do with it. He didn't want to do that. And this year it is like night and day, like a different human being has shown up, and the confidence and the humor and just all of it has been pretty, pretty special and really cool to watch. Hey, I got to read you something. This was sent to me from somebody who works for your organization, who texted me and said, FYI, the kid we signed for the big bonus, Celestine, he's legit. He's going to be really good. Tell me a little bit more about Felnin Celestine and when you guys got eyes on him finally just earlier this week.
It's hard to be more excited about a young player than we are right now about, you know, Felnin and where he is. He's grown quite a bit, really, since we signed him. And I think we've shared this before. We've been tracking Felnin for years, We got to know the young man. We got to know his family. Felt a good deal of comfort. Obviously signed for the big signing bonus. And, you know, he did come into spring training. We had to work through some visa issues. And this is on the heels of working in the Dominican Republic at our facility through the fall and into the spring. And, you know, the thing that really jumps out is the athleticism, the absolute ease in the operation, both from shortstop. He can throw, switch hitter with power from both sides. We were on a scouting conference call shortly after the Dominican Instructional League started up last fall. And somebody asked the question, you know, which is his better side? You know, and one of our hitting coordinators said, I don't know, man. This guy hits him over the batter's eye from both sides. They seem pretty equal to me. So he is truly a 5-2 talent. He's, you know, he's just 17 years old. We are going to start him in the Dominican Summer League because we think that's the appropriate next step. But, you know, there really, really is no ceiling on what he could achieve. And, you know, he will be in all likelihood one of those guys that just has the spotlight on him as he moves through the system, because he's a legitimate high end prospect, and he too has that kind of natural magnetism, engagement. He's got that thing that when the fans engage with Felney, he's, you know, it takes him to a different level.
Last thing here, Jerry, we'll flip the pendulum back from the future to the very present here. Just the counsel to Mariners fans tonight as they get ready for opening day. Your message to all those listening today that will pack that stadium is?
Enjoy the ride. There's it's such a long season. And, you know, tonight that I go in, I expect that we're going to win. We've got the rock on the mound. We've got a lot of excitement in our town, but it's 162, and you know, tonight starts the long journey, and we have to refocus ourselves from the goal, you know, and we talked about it. The goal is winning the World Series. Now we have to focus ourselves on the individual steps, and you know, that's game by game, win by win, pitch by pitch, and that starts tonight, and we can't get too far out of it.
Well, we talked a lot about how the players are bought in. We've talked about how the coaching staff and baseball ops is bought in. We're bought in, too, and I really think that this fan base is bought in and really excited about today. It feels different from any other opening day that Brock and I have been associated with here in Seattle, and obviously coming off the heels of being in the playoffs last year, winning a series, and really capturing the attention of this town. Today is an awesome day, Jerry. Yep. Thanks for getting us to this point, and we'll look forward to seeing where it goes this year. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Look forward to it all.
Thanks, Jerry.